Hey, this is Pastor Aram, and I want to thank you for joining me today for the Activation Church podcast. We are here so that people can activate their life in Christ, and I believe this message is going to help you go further than ever before. Check it out.
If you have your Bible, go to 2 Kings, the 6th chapter. We're starting a brand new relationship series, and my goal is to be able to talk to everyone in the room. Because how many of you know we're all in different situations? Some of you are single, some of you are dating, some of you are engaged, some of you are married, some of you have been through a divorce or are currently walking through a divorce. And so we want to talk about some things from Scripture that will help you wherever you're at. And so this is the story that we're going to start with, 2 Kings, the 6th chapter, starting in verse 1. The Bible says, "Now the sons of the prophets said to Elisha, 'See, the place where we dwell under your charge is too small for us. Let us go to the Jordan and each of us get there a log and let us make a place for us to dwell there.'" In other words, we want to expand. We want to go build a better life for ourselves. And Elisha answered, "Go." Then one of them said, "Be pleased to go with your servants." And he answered, "Hey, I'll go with you." So he went with them. And when they came to the Jordan, they cut down trees. But as one of them was felling a log, his axe head fell into the water. And he cried out, "Alas, my master, it was borrowed." Then the man of God said, "Well, where did it fall?" When he showed him the place, he cut off a stick and threw it in there and made the iron float. Somebody say miracle. And he said, "Take it up." So he reached out his hand and he took it. The broken thing was put back together. See, this guy, he's out there trying to build a better life for himself. The problem is he has a broken tool. And if you try to build with broken tools, you will get broken results. In our relationships, if we want to build strong, healthy, thriving relationships, which that should be the goal, the only way that's going to happen is if we have the right tools. See, nobody enters into a marriage thinking, "I hope this falls apart one day." If you did, that's your problem, okay? Let's just start there. No one goes, "You know what? I want to get married to this person, and I want her to ruin my life, and I want to ruin her life, and I want to have a nasty divorce so bad that one day we permanently scar our children. That's my dream." Nobody does that, but it does happen. Why? Because we build with broken tools. As we talk about relationships this month, we want to start by talking about making sure that we have the right tools in place. And if there is a broken tool that's not working, we need to discard it. See, this guy here in the story, when the axe head falls apart, he says it's borrowed. And sometimes we borrow broken tools from our grandparents and our parents, things that we need to get rid of, but we keep on borrowing them, and because we're borrowing a broken tool or a broken system, we're getting the same broken results as someone else. Let's start fresh. Turn to the person next to you and say, "Let's start fresh." I mean, if it works, let's work it. Yeah. But if it's broken, let's get rid of it. You know what the definition of insanity is? Doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result. Some of us are hacking away a life with the same tool, thinking we're going to get a different result. You're not, okay? Change the tool. Let's start off by talking to some single people in the room. If you're single, maybe you're dating, maybe you're engaged, I want to ask you this question. Why do you want to get married? Why do you want to marry that person? It's important because if you have a broken reason can result in a broken relationship. What do I mean by broken reasons? Well, some people get married because they want to change a situation that they're in. In other words, maybe they're stuck at home and they want to get out of mom and dad's house because they want a little bit of freedom, and they see this person or this relationship as their ticket to ride. I don't know if you've ever met people like this, but I have. I knew a girl, she wanted out of her family's house, and so she found herself an older guy. She went, they got married, they lived together for a while, and then she realized one day, I do not even like this person at all. And the marriage fell apart. You can't go into a marriage with broken reasons. Some people go into a marriage to better their financial status, or they need somewhere to live, or maybe it's just because you've been looking forward to the wedding. You've got a dream of the perfect wedding, the perfect day, the perfect dress, all of the details you've got perfectly planned out. The problem is you need to know when the wedding ends, there is a life after that moment. And something we say at the ceremony that most people don't pay much attention to is, for better or for worse. Let me promise you, there will be moments when worse shows up. You will wake up some days and roll over to look worse right in the face. And you've got to remind yourself that you have made a commitment, and even though worse is here, we are here to work through this, because I'm married to the right person for the right reason. The reason you get married is very important. Some people, they rush into it because their biological clock is ticking. All my friends are getting married, they're having kids, they're moving forward, and I'm still single, and so, you know, I'm just ready to move on with my life. The problem is you can rush life to the point that you rush it into the wrong relationship with the wrong person, and the wrong tools will cause relationships to break. When we enter a relationship, we need to have the right reasons and we need to have the right perspective. What am I talking about perspective? I'm talking about how you view marriage is very important. Turn to the person next to you and say, how you view it is important. Are y'all ready to jump into this thing? In Genesis, the second chapter, verse 18, this is where the first marriage happens. The Bible says, the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be what? Alone. So I'm going to do this. I'm going to make a helper fit for him. In other words, I'm going to create someone to help him, or if you're a female, someone to help you. The big idea is we are here to help one another, not to hinder one another. One of the scriptures I read at every wedding at the very beginning, because I want to set the tone, is this. He who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. See, I need to think of marriage that way, that this person is here to help me and not hinder me. The reason is because I will treat my help completely differently than I will treat my hindrance. If I think that the only reason that they are on this planet is to inhibit me versus enhance me, I promise you I will treat them completely different. But when I understand, and this is for a healthy relationship, when I understand that they are there to help me and to be a blessing to me, then I'm going to treat them completely different, especially when they do something that rubs me the wrong way. I've been married for a while now. My wife and I have been friends since 1996. We started hanging out more seriously in 1998, and then she made the best decision of her life in 1999 when she says, I'm going to date that boy. We've been through a few things. And when we were young, I remember one night she came to the room and she was upset with me. I know it's hard to imagine that I could do anything to upset another human being, but she was upset because there were some things that I was doing in my life that she was not happy with at the time. And I responded to her, well, what did you expect? I was doing this before we got married. Don't you know I'm going to keep on doing it now that we're married? You ain't changing me. I was an idiot, first off. Let me just say I was an idiot for thinking this way. And a sidebar, ladies, guys who are single, don't marry a fixer-upper. What I mean by that is don't go into the relationship thinking, I'll change them. If you want a fixer-upper, find someone who understands construction and y'all buy like a little house project and y'all work on that. We're not in this thing to try to change people, okay? I need to make sure that I'm entering in a relationship with someone who has the same direction and values that I have. Are y'all with me?
Yep.
That's important. If our direction and our values don't come into alignment, I can like you, I can love you, I can appreciate you, but I do not need to connect my life to you. Because if I connect my life to you and our values are different, that's going to have a real problem. Did you know there are some people that church is very important to them and their spouse it's not? Eventually, that causes some friction. There are some people that, you know, tithing and giving to the Lord is important to them and it's not to their spouse. Eventually, that will cause some friction and arguments in their relationship. How you raise your kids. How many kids do you even want to have? Those are great conversations to have because sometimes you marry someone that wants to have the Brady Bunch and you don't want to have any kids at all. That's going to cause some friction down the road. All those things we need to figure out before we get into it. We don't need to think, I'll marry them and change them. And so back to my story where I got frustrated with her. And the reason I got frustrated is because I had a terrible view of marriage at the time. I saw her as trying to inhibit me, trying to take something away from me. But now I realize she was never trying to take anything from me. She loved me, and she was speaking to the potential inside of me. The reason that's helpful is because now when she confronts me with an issue, and she still will confront me from time to time because our arm gets out of line, when she confronts me, I hear it differently because now it's filtered through my help and not my hindrance. I realize the reason she's confronting me isn't because she's wanting to hurt me or wound me. She's confronting me because she sees something better in me and she's trying to pull it out. Are they a help to you or are they your hindrance? You've got to fix the way you view it because you will treat them differently. Not only will you treat them differently, but you'll speak to them differently. Broken words are broken tools. How you speak to each other matters big time. Y'all remember that statement? Sticks and stones may what? Break my bones, but words will never hurt me. That's a lie. I mean, we can do that whole, I'm rubber, you're glue, it's sticking to you, it don't hurt. It does. When somebody says something negative towards you or about you, it is damaging, and we need to realize that. But at the same time, the same words that come out of our mouth that break down, if we can flip it, are the same words we can release to bring healing. See, I can either use my words to discourage or encourage. I can either use my words to bring down, or I can use my words to build up. Watch what the Bible says here, because I just don't want y'all to think I'm making stuff up. Proverbs, the 15th chapter, verse 4, says, a gentle tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness in it breaks the spirit. A gentle tongue is a tree of life. See, a tongue filled with wisdom will bring life. I need to think through what I say before I say it. Do I need to say this right now? Or do I need to bite my tongue? Where is this statement going to take me? Because how many of you know your words will take you somewhere? And if you don't want to go to that destination, you just need to hold your tongue. I promise you, there are times I want to say something in our marriage, and I realize it's not worth it. It's simply not worth it to say it. Even if I'm right sometimes, it's better to use some wisdom, because maybe what you are going to say needs to be said. It just doesn't need to be said right now. Because sometimes you say it, you say the right thing in the wrong moment, and it's not heard. So we need to use wisdom. Why? Because a gentle tongue is a tree of life. Here's what you need to understand. You will get out of someone whatever you speak into them. If you're always being negative towards them, if you're always putting them down, if you're always slamming them, don't be surprised when you don't get the best version of them. I've always said it like this. Inside of every guy, there's a prince and there's a punk. You'll get the one you talk to. In every woman, there is a beauty and there is a... That's good, because the 930 wasn't thinking that. The 930 crowd's the unsaved crowd, you can tell. But it's true, and you'll get whichever one you speak to. See, I need to be intentional with my words and use them to build them up and celebrate them. How many of you know, like, it always feels good to have someone say something kind about you or to you, but to me, it's more significant when the person I love the most says something kind to me. And I think what happens is sometimes we get in a relationship long enough to we start taking things for granted. The things that used to catch our attention and we used to say, we just assume that they know. I assume they know I love them. I assume they think I think they look good. No, maybe not. Maybe if you feel something good, you should say something good. Maybe you should celebrate them and honor them. Maybe you should start overlooking some of the negative things that are in them and start talking about the things that you love about them. Why? Because the more you celebrate what is good about them, the more you're going to elevate that and pull that out of them. If you really start looking at your relationship and the problems that you're having, you could probably track it down to the way you're speaking to one another, the things you're saying about each other. Why? Because broken words will produce broken relationships. Here's another one that I love. You cannot build a strong marriage with broken humility. You can't build a strong marriage with broken humility. Proverbs 16:18 says, pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. In other words, pride destroys everything. Not only will it destroy your life, but it will also destroy your relationships. Does anybody remember the old Honeymooners show? It's a really old one, black and white. But I used to love it when I was a kid. And Ralph used to say this to his wife. He'd say, Alice, I'm the king and you're nothing. You hear me, Alice? I'm the king and you're nothing. And Alice would say, I hear you, Ralph. You're the king over nothing. Knocked him down a few notches. See, we need to understand that you are not the most important person in your relationship. It's not all about you and what you can get from it. It's not all about your pleasure, your needs, and your desires. You have joined yourself to someone. And if you want your relationship to flourish, then your mindset needs to be not just what I can get from it, but what can I invest into this? What can I do for them because I love them? What can I do even if it's something that I don't particularly enjoy? But I do it because I love them. See, there are five different love languages. We're not going to go through them, but you do understand that people give and receive love in different ways. So if there is a way that my wife receives love that's not necessarily the way I receive love, I've got to make up my mind. What am I going to do that with that? And if I love her enough, I'm going to invest into her, and I'm going to do some of the things that maybe I don't care about, but it really does make a difference to her. And I do that. I travel all over the world to places I don't want to go. But you know why I do it? Because I like being with her. It's not about where I go. It's about who I'm with. Honest to God, that's how I am. I don't care if I'm on a beach or if I'm at the lake or if I'm on top of a mountain or scaling the mountains of Kilimanjaro, you know, swimming with the salmon of Capistrano. I don't care as long as I'm with her because that's what I care about, and I will do that for her because that's what she enjoys. It's not about me. If you make relationships all about you, you are setting them up to fail, and sometimes that's what we do. We think we're the most important person in the house, and you're not. We have equal value. Neither is greater than the next. And the final thing that we've got to talk about, which is one of the most important things is our broken baggage. I already see some heads bobbing because we all know that we all have got some broken baggage. Before I got married, I had my own house at 22 years old. And I had that thing set up as a bachelor pad. The entire house was empty. I took one of the bedrooms and turned it into a walk-in closet. I mean, this place was like set up for, you know, the guys to hang. The only room that I had furnished was my downstairs area, which was my Beatles room. I had my Beatles collection everywhere. I had black carpet. I had a black pleather couch. You know the ones I'm talking about, the ones if you take a nap, you've got to peel yourself off of it later. I mean, it was set up. It was awesome. Then I got married, and things started changing. I noticed that she brought some of her stuff with her, and my nice, quaint, empty home became filled to overflowing because whatever you don't discard gets brought with you. Now, we understand that, like, if you've ever been in a relationship and you move in with each other, you understand, like, some stuff comes with them, maybe some furniture or some clothes or some little knickum-knackums. Those things come. But what about our emotional baggage? What about our trauma that if it's not handled properly in our past, now it's coming into our present relationship? And the problem is sometimes we take out our past on our present. Sometimes we project the hurt of yesterday onto the person that we're with today. Sometimes we get into relationships with people that we should not be in because we're trying to find help for our baggage and our broken heart. See, there are some people when they were kids, they weren't seen. And because they weren't seen, what they'll do is many times they'll get into a relationship with someone who does not see them because they're hoping this time something to change. Maybe this time I'll be seen. Maybe this time I'll be loved. Maybe this time I'll be valued. And the problem is you're bringing your brokenness into a relationship that's only going to cause more brokenness. See, I've got to find healing in my life as an individual. Because if I don't find healing in my life, then I'm always going to be looking for things and people to fix something they weren't designed to fix. Please hear what I'm saying. My wife was not designed to fix me. I am not designed to fix her. There is only one that can fix us and heal us, and that is Jesus Christ. He's the only one that can heal the brokenhearted. He is the only one that can put us back together. And if I don't know that and I don't come to him for healing, then all I'm going to do is project my brokenness into that relationship and cause more damage and more hurt. And when we talk about finding healing for our brokenness, I want us to like really look at ourselves. And here's why that's important, is because it's very easy for us to point out what we want to change about them. I guarantee you, I could ask you right now, make a list of everything you want to change about your spouse, and most of y'all would have it completed before I even got it out of my mouth. Because you know exactly what they need to do and who they need to become to be the person that you need in your life. Am I right? We know. The problem is it doesn't work that way. If a marriage is going to thrive, first, it takes both people at the same time determining this is going to work, which is very difficult because sometimes it's only one person that wants to make it work, and then, you know, by the time she actually wants to start making it work, I no longer want to make it work. We got to get on the same page. But then once we get on the same page that we're going to do whatever it takes to bring healing to this relationship, I've got to individualize this thing and say, what needs to change with me? Jesus says this story, and I'll paraphrase it, but he talks about going up and trying to pull the speck out of someone's eye when you've got a log coming out of your face. He says, before you try to help others, find healing for yourself. Deal with the log that's coming out of your face. Then you'll see clear enough to help the person that has the speck in their eye. But that's what we do in a relationship. We point fingers. They got the problem. Never go, and maybe there's some things in me that need to change. And sometimes we're not even aware of it because we have so suppressed it. So what are we going to do? We've got to come to God and say, God, search me. The Bible says in Psalm 139, verse 23, he says, "Search me, O God." And I was thinking about that during worship this morning, like, why would he pray, "Search me, O God"? God already knows. Don't you? Do you know that? God already knows. And I thought, he's not praying, "Search me, O God," so that God will become aware of something he's not aware of. He's saying, "Search me, O God, so that you can now make me aware of the things that you want to bring healing to. Because if I don't find healing for it, then I'll just mask it." And that's a big problem, because many of us live life as though everything's okay. On the outside, we look fine. On the outside, we look emotionally stable. And we get into these relationships with other people who look fine and look emotionally stable, only to wake up one day to find out we're very, very broken. And the truth is, we are all broken to some degree. There's not one person in this room that is whole and complete on their own. If you are whole and complete, it's because you've come to Jesus with your brokenness and you have allowed him to touch you and bring healing to those deep places in your life. You've allowed him to change your mind, the way you think. You've allowed him to change your words and the way you speak. You've allowed him to change your heart and the way you feel. That's the starting point to having a healthy relationship. Because healthy relationships start out with a healthy you. I've got to know that I'm loved, even if I never hear "I love you" from another human being. See, my loved, it feels great to receive that from people, and we should, but I'm loved whether or not she loves me, because God loves me, and I know that. I belong because God says I belong. I've got value because God says I have value. So I don't have to operate and live out of insecurities, which many times that's what we're doing, is we're living out of our insecurity in our relationship. The way we feel about ourselves. But see, Jesus can bring healing to that if we'll allow him to do it. And it may take some time, but it's okay. I'm willing to walk through that process so that I can get to the place where I'm whole. Listen, I'm not there. As a human being, I am not fully there. And the older I get, the more aware of the brokenness that I have that I didn't even know existed. I thought I was good to go. But now that I get older, I go, "Oh, wow, I'm pretty jacked up. I need some help." And I'm able to reflect on my life and see the damage and the hurt that I've caused others and go, that wasn't because I'm trying to damage and hurt others. It's because I was trying to fix some brokenness in me in a place that couldn't fix the brokenness. See, some of you think that leaving your current relationship and finding a new relationship is going to solve the problem. It's not, if you keep on going into it with the same old tools. You're going to have the same problems. It's just going to be a new face and a new name. Sometimes the answer is not getting rid of the relationship, it's getting rid of the tools that you were using to build that relationship. You can't build with bitterness. You can't build with unforgiveness. You can't build with a lack of trust. You've got to build with honesty. You've got to build with integrity. And maybe that's not who you've been in the past. And you need to say, "You know what? God, I need forgiveness." And you need to go to your spouse and say, "I need forgiveness. I've broken your heart because I've been broken." And you're not just saying this to cover things over. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes, like, we get in trouble, we get caught in something, we say anything that we need to say to get out of that moment. The problem is, once little time goes by, we fall right back into that groove. Why? Because nothing really changed about us. We weren't sorry, we're just sorry we got caught. This is good preaching. This is helpful stuff. The reason I know it's helpful is because it's stuff that's helped me in my life. Thank God I'm not the person I was when I first married my wife. Thank God I'm not the person I was even 10 years ago. Why? Because I'm a work in progress. Every day of my life is a new opportunity to step and grow closer to God and closer to my spouse. And that's one of my prayers always. Father, allow me to love her more. Allow me to desire her more. change the way I think, change my heart. I'm not taking her stuff to God and saying, God, change her. Change her attitude. God, change her mind. God, let her see she's married to the greatest guy in the world. No, it starts with God, change me. Because if he can change me and heal me, now I'm in a healthy place to help her. Well, thank you so much for joining us again today for our Activation Church podcast. I hope this message has been an inspiration to you. Listen, take time to rate our podcast. It helps us get the message out. Also, I don't know if you know this, but we've got a great YouTube channel with amazing resources. It's Activation Church. So go there, subscribe, and watch our content. Have a great week, and we'll see you next time.